This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's episode is brought to you by the Friends of the Magic Word. We want to welcome a few new friends. First of all, Mr. David Sandy. Thank you, David, very much for using PayPal to make a donation and becoming a friend of the Magic Word. We appreciate your financial support. Also, we welcome Kevin Peel and Jeff Horton, both who have pledged monthly support through Patreon.com. You can also help us and become a friend of the Magic Word and receive some pretty cool perks along the way, too, if you will go to Patreon.com/TheMagicWord, and there you can find out some information about how that you can become a friend of the Magic Word, and that will help us a lot to keep this podcast free for the whole world to enjoy. So again, welcome, and thank you, David, Kevin, and Jeff, and all the rest of the Friends of the Magic Word. And I want to thank each of you who listen. Even if you don't provide us with any financial support, you do with your help every time that you listen to the podcast. And you know you could help us a lot if you are an iTunes user. If you'll go to the iTunes store, and there you can just give us a 5-star review on the podcast and leave some comments there as well about what you like about the podcast. Hopefully you do. Well, this week, actually, we go back to a convention that I had attended that I had a friend who had at the last minute said, I've got an extra registration if you can make it down to Orlando. And I did. So I went to the Genie convention last fall, and it was phenomenal. Had a very good time. I wish I would have signed up earlier because I'm glad I didn't miss it. It was really a lot of fun. And one of the people I got a chance to sit down and chat with was Gaetan Bloom. And I have been wanting to talk with him for quite a while, but he is overseas. Obviously, he's from France, and so I see him occasionally at conventions, but he's usually tied up. And so I happened to catch him late at night. Actually, he was going over to see his friend Dominique Duvivier give a lecture, and unfortunately for him, that I kind of caught him, and we talked for about an hour, which meant he was unable to see the lecture by his friend. But he said, you know, I've seen that lecture several times. I know it's very good, and Dominique would forgive me for not attending the lecture. So I want to thank him very much for taking the time that he shared with me, and that you get to enjoy the benefit of hearing our conversation, because we had a very interesting one as he talked about working the Crazy Horse Saloon there in Paris, France, and how difficult it was for him to actually get in there. It's kind of funny. You would think that being a very creative and funny magician, someone who's multilingual, would be just kind of a natural for performing there. But the story as to how he actually got in was kind of interesting, which came by way of Kevin James, who is an American who was over there. And that's an interesting story he shares here, as well as his first meeting with Kevin James and how they got to be such good friends then as well. Plus talking about some other ways that how he creates some of the things he does. I found this very enlightening, interesting, and engaging. He's quite a personality and a force to be reckoned with, certainly. And if you get an opportunity to see Gaetan, I'm sure that you will enjoy getting a chance if you get to chat with him for a while. And I know that if you have seen him, that you have laughed and just been startled and mystified by some of his creativity. So please welcome my guest this week, Mr. Gaetan Bloom, here on The Magic Word. All right, Scott Wells for TheMagicWordPodcast.com, and we're still kind of in an afterglow, if you will, and the convention has ended, and I'm here with one of the many celebrities, Gaetan Bloom. Hello, Gaetan.
Gaetan.
Gaetan. Is that right? Is that right,
yeah.
Pronunciation?
In French, yes, we say Gaetan. Gaetan.
But what Gaetan. Most Americans say Gaetan? Or what?
Yeah, because the hen is, you know, the finale is...
I live in Texas, so it's Gaetan.
Yeah. But sometimes they say Gaetan with an O, you know, because many years ago, Ken Brook wrote Gaetan with an O instead of R. So sometimes, but it's Gaetan.
I like it. I love your lecture and the books and everything, and
Thank
that... I've made several things, you know, and that with the Intercessor, I've been using that for a while with business cards.
It's a good application, sure.
And, you know, just in a walk-around strolling cocktail environment, you know, mm-hmm. it seems to make sense, you know, that kind of a thing to have them rip it off like that. Yeah. But everything else, how long have you been doing the manipulation with the boxing gloves?
Oh, the
15
boxing,
years maybe?
Much more. I started the boxing glove, I think, in the 80s, 82 something, mm-hmm. 1982, yeah.
Wow, okay.
I started that. In fact, I remember I had the idea of the act because we had a comic in France, a very famous guy named Coluche. He was a funny guy. Mm-hmm. And he was playing violin with boxing gloves.
That's funny.
And when I saw that, I said, I must find something, how I can link this with magic, you know. And then, quite naturally, yeah. At first, I wanted to do many other things. I wanted to do the cigarette vanish, you know, like it was big
temptation.
Yeah.
Sure.
And many, many things. And then I came with the card manipulation, yeah.
Have you actually done some other things with that? I mean, like with making a thumb tip out of that or whatever?
I did a big thumb tip fitting the thumb. Yeah.
That's funny. Now, were you doing that when you were working the Crazy Horse, that routine?
No.
What was your routine when you did that? What did you do at the Crazy Horse? What was on your routine?
It was essentially the microphone routine you saw yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But
cut a short cord, by the way, the people who are not there.
Yeah. And I was finishing with a trick I have not done yesterday, but with a shoe. Now there is many effect with shoe reappearing and all that. But I think I was one of the very first to do it really in time with no misdirection about, I mean, leaving the proper shoe behind the table or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Visually. My effect was visually... pretty strong, and it was my finish at the Crazy Horse.
And how many years? Or when did you start the Crazy Horse? You were there 15 years, is that right?
I did 15 years at the Crazy Horse. Yeah, I started in 93.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the Crazy Horse still there?
Yeah, but they have no more attraction.
Why is that?
I think it's mostly because we were too expensive. I mean, it was one attraction for all three girls, and they preferred to have more girls.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pity because I am the last attraction that the old man who created the Crazy Horse booked. I was happy to be, I didn't know at the time I will be that. But and he was saying to me always, you know, in my show, you have to consider my show as a human body. I say, what? So the human body. And you see, for me, and if you see a human body, what he was saying, say, for me, human body, again, the dancer, the girls, they are the flesh of the body. And the attractions are the bones.
Okay.
And in a human body, you don't see the bones.
Right.
But if you have no bones, the flesh just fall apart.
Yeah.
That was his meaning. So, in fact, the attraction were there to put in energy and sing to the beauty of the girl. You know, it was a counterbalance thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
And that's why he had always very funny guys like George Carl or people like that, you know, very funny or strong or characters. And he had never very elegant...
They had like Tom Mulica, is that right?
Yeah, Tom. But Tom was very funny with the cigarette.
Right.
The only one he had was Norm Nielsen. Very elegant and all
right.
that.
Right.
But it's a
also
near
Finn
exception.
John. Didn't Finn John?
And Finn John. Finn John was more really just doing the floating ball. Very not dramatic.
Mysterious.
Yeah, mysterious. Yeah. Mysterious. Mm-hmm. But he never had a kind of playboy, whatever.
Ah,
you know.
I see what you're saying.
He didn't want that because he's thinking that if my customers see a very
James Bond type of character on stage,
I will have no chance. You know, if I was, you know.
Oh, I see. But if it's a bumbling funny guy, that's an interesting.
And for the same reason, he had no attraction with a girl assistant.
Yeah.
Because either she was. Not as beautiful as the dancers, so he didn't want this comparison. Or if she was more beautiful, it was no good too.
Right. Yeah. And you say they really don't have anyone else, I guess, any other magicians currently working there.
No, no. Otto Wesley sometimes is doing one for a special gig or something, but
right.
now they
not on a regular basis.
No, the only attractions they have like permanent now is a shadow act.
Like
Philippe Beau. Philippe Beau okay. is a very good shadow artist, uh-huh. and he builds this for the Crazy Horse, a special.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for the last 2 years, I think they had. But now I think they are gone. But two tap dancers, male dancers,
who were clothed. They were.
They were in the middle of. But you know, before it was three attractions. After two, for when I was there, I knew the three attraction period yeah. and the two attraction period.
Okay.
But then now it's one attraction, and it means nothing because it's just one thing in the middle of you know.
Yeah. Too bad. Yeah. They're still charging a lot, I guess, for it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the Follies Bergère, is that still running then there? Or?
Yeah, I think so, but they do a lot of special events, not a regular...
Every night kind of a
no,
thing?
No,
oh,
no,
okay.
The only big thing like that is Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. Keeps the tradition of French cancan, and
yes.
a
uh-huh.
big show. And
they don't
last...
have magicians? I guess?
No, not really, no.
Okay.
They have a van. They had a van for many, many years. Mm-hmm. But more visual art, I mean, Antipodist or whatever, or
sure.
comedy guys. Not so many magicians, no.
Hmm. Okay. Now, have you been coming over to the Genie Convention here before, or is this your first Genie Convention?
No, it's my first.
Yep.
And I love it. I love
been
it.
Having fun?
What?
You having fun?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know... recently, I went to many big conventions. You know, I will do the next Blackpool convention.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But Blackpool is huge, you
it
know.
Is big.
And FISM is huge. And
yeah.
all. The, and I must say, there is something different in this kind of smaller convention, but much more human scale, you
yes.
know. And I love it.
You get a chance to talk with somebody
yeah.
rather than just kind of
yeah,
saying hello
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
as
yeah.
everyone's passing.
You know, that's a problem. You have many conventions where you can't see everything because you have this there or this and that and
right.
blah, blah, blah. And
right.
you have no time even to go to the dealer's room
right.
or whatever.
Right.
And but I think time are changing. We come back to smaller units.
Yeah.
But with a better quality, I think.
The quality of this was outstanding. I think
oh, yeah,
Randy
yeah.
Pitchford and
yeah,
Richard Kaufman did a great job. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
with you and everybody
yeah.
that a lot of people don't see. I mean, even Stan Allen at Magic Life has a great lineup.
Yeah.
But I think this rivals that easily and half
oh,
the
yeah,
size.
Yeah. Completely,
you know?
Completely,
yeah.
completely.
Yeah.
Myself, I discover a lot of new people.
Who'd you see? Who'd you love?
I don't remember the name, but I have to read. But really... well, this girl, Lucy...
Oh, Lucy Darling?
Yeah, yeah. Lucy Darling.
Yeah. Carissa Hendricks, yeah.
Ning DeFatte.
Nick DeFatte, yeah.
Yeah, it's completely new for me.
Yeah.
Never.
Pat Hazel, have you seen Pat Hazel before?
Yeah, yeah. no, what a discovery. what a man. So you
well,
see...
He's a good friend of mine, and actually he was on the podcast. You need to go back
okay.
and had a couple of him. Very funny comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of... Michael Vincent, of course, you probably
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah.
I know Michael
yeah.
from... but no, but oh, everybody has his own character. And,
of course, Dominique, you know.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
Very well.
Dominique Duvivier and Alexandre.
What is his show like? He has a theater over there in Paris, is that right?
Yeah, it's not a theater. It's a like a pub. It's a very small place you with two levels. You have one on the street level
okay.
With a terrace. It's a
yeah.
very... you know, the old Paris fashion, whatever.
Okay.
And you have like a basement. It's not a basement, it's but under. The,
underground kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
And then you have a very tiny room. You fit 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But it's always packed.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like a Magic Castle room for close-up, you know, a little
sure.
bit bigger, but this kind of...
How many nights a week? 7 nights a week?
Oh, yeah, it's open
every night,
yes. And but they have different shows.
I was going to say different performers? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly local
mostly
French?
Mostly Dominique, Alexandra, mm-hmm. and the team. You know, they have a regular team.
Okay.
of three or four performers.
But not like the Magic Castle where they bring in a lot of people.
No, no.
Kind of a thing. Yeah.
No. And me and David Stone or, you know, and they do a lot of special events for, yeah. you know. I did the opening for his new book. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, I wrote a few things for him, yeah. And because he's reediting the book like 10 years, 15 years after the first, so some things have changed.
Yeah, certainly they do. Now, did you find anything in the dealer's room that was interesting or that maybe sparked your imagination for some creative idea?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm not talking about all. I saw beautiful thing with technology, high-tech pad, you know, electric pads, whatever.
Your iPads and all that. Yeah. Tablets, yeah.
I am very, very impressed by all that. I will never use that.
Really? You mean because people will assume that that's what's doing the trick and not you?
Well, more and more. More and more. But no, it's really so well hidden that we can do this now. Maybe in 5 years, no more, because it's, yes, of course.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's just that if you have this and you are lost in the country where at the end of the world and the things fail, right. And obviously you need a plan B.
Yeah, right.
You know? So I prefer to work on a good plan B. And if my plan B is good enough, I don't need the first thing in the...
Right, plan A.
Yeah. So, but I'm amazed by the creativity of of what all the technology you can find.
But you
out.
Do a lot of things with thread. I mean, just as you say, a short piece of thread. You don't need the whole thing.
No, it's a small piece of... No, but at the booth, one thing really... Also, you know, I like a lot organic magic kind of... So I saw this effect with the candle. Have you seen that?
Yes.
That's the one for
Rex
me.
Rex Ignis or something where that you don't feel the heat?
Rex Ignition, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was talking with Christian Fechner, Christian Schenk about that. He was saying they've sold out.
If you talk with Christian Fechner, tell me, because he's a very good friend.
It's been a long time.
For me, it was a revelation of this convention, this trick. I mean, I said, what is that? Because it's a new effect for me.
Right.
I mean, you just... and there is no chemical, nothing, no,
right.
You know.
And it's remote control, and then you can use any candle.
Yeah. So it's
not a card trick.
No.
Which is nice.
It can be a card trick, because you can have one card chosen, and when you go on top, either they burn or not.
Oh, interesting.
So it can be a card trick, too, you know.
Well, because what we were talking about, Christian and I, about this being something that would be like a living or dead test type of a thing, you know, the seance.
Yeah, no, the thing, the beautiful concept is that the candle is normal. It's not an electronic candle.
It's a wax candle.
It's a wax candle, and then you put ready your hand, and with nothing in your hand, no produce, no chemical, nothing, and then you are not burned, and you are really close from the flame, and you can take the spectator hands, and you put it, and it works the same. And if you want to burn it, I mean, to put back the heat, it goes, you know. So it's completely under control.
Yeah.
So I think really it's loaded with possibilities, this thing.
For presentations.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
we are back to the same thing. It's still technology.
Right.
But I think this will work.
When you come up with ideas, new creations, then, Gaetan, do you come up with a presentation and the idea first, or
it depends. It really depends. It goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yes. Most of the time, I have the flash in my head of the idea of the visualization of one effect, and I try to stick to that and say, okay, how can I arrange? And then after it goes in my mind, I mean, like. You know, I think every human mind is like a computer. I mean, I am very good with visualization of image, memory, photo memory. Take picture. And I take the picture, I register the picture, and then I forget. I think I forget, but it's still somewhere in the box.
Yeah.
You know, and one day I say, this and gling, 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 it's like all of a sudden everything
comes together.
Comes together, but this come together, it's just because I'm curious about everything. So I saw before this, we linked this to that, and bam, 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 puff.
And that's what I think is amazing about the inventions that you come up with, that they're not all card tricks or coin tricks or one genre. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah,
you know,
because I I've not focused on any special thing.
Because I'm thinking about Jim Steinmeier, for an example. He has just a wealth of knowledge about, you know, black art and mirrors, et cetera, and so that when he's thinking of things, I think a similar kind of thing, I would imagine, that he has these ideas and concepts, and so suddenly that he's got a problem, and he said, well, I can address that by doing this if I put these kinds of things into it. So he's got a different...
Yeah, but also we have our own babies, kind of. I mean... It's true that very often the solution of my tricks is a little piece of thread, but it's not always what I say is that once I have the effect, I say how can I do that, and then I have a kind of list of material, I will say, or gimmicks. May I use wax? May I use thread? May I use magnet, may
metal
I use
dam.
Whatever, and I name, and a magnet, no, I don't see for what I, for that, no, and thread, maybe if I, okay, and very often it goes that way, because I like, because thread is in my, I don't know why, but, you know, and I found, and maybe with Jim, mirror is one of his,
right, things,
you know,
yeah, like yours is thread, his might be mirror, for an example,
yeah. But he has found so many different ways to apply angle, mirror angle, and all that. You know, and nobody is doing so many things with mirror like Jim.
Right, right. Well, he was talking about Moritz and about how that his wife said he used to go to
wonderful.
Bed and would take these mirrors to bed and kind of think about, well, these different angles, what could it do? You know, and he's going to sleep thinking about
it. And it's also a complete different idea of mirror. Normally mirrors, they are encased in a box most of the time, you know.
Yeah.
And with Moritz or Jim,
is,
they go to nowhere, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And this is wonderful because it's a kind of multi-reflection from the top and the bottom.
Right.
And just, but there is no box, really.
Right.
This is really brilliant.
Yeah. When you're thinking of something, and then also, are you solving a problem for a trick that you're wanting to try to do for yourself, and then you're thinking, okay, this may have other applications and other magicians might like this?
Oh, yeah.
You've got an act, you know, you've been doing for a long time, but I mean... Then,
yeah, so, my act, yes, I have two or three different acts, but, you know, this is my bread and butter, you say, you know. But then after, there is many tricks I found, and everything I put in my books is to share with people. And now I do more and more coaching for new people who want to have a special act or something. So I coach them as I can, you know.
Like Jeff McBride type of it?
Yeah. Except I do it mostly in France, and...
Yeah.
It's not so popular in France yet, you know. They don't.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Do they know about it? But
they are very.
I wonder if it's just that, you know, how they say that a prophet is not appreciated in his own land, and perhaps, you know, that the French don't.
Maybe,
You know, I mean, people would come from overseas to study under you, but
you know,
not locally.
Also, I'm very open, so. Quite often, people, they say, oh, I have a problem. Can you help me? And but they don't think to say, I will pay you for that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's
well,
a different... Yeah. And, yeah.
So you ever think about Slidini? Because a lot of people, you know, go back and now talk about,
you
took lessons with Slidini.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like everybody did at some point, you know? And so I would think that it would be the same thing with you. I mean, if you start advertising, do you advertise? I mean, so people know that.
No, I start just now to do this. Really, I mean, I want to do it more and more. So I will. Right now, I'm level zero of.
Okay, you're just getting started.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to contact you and actually take lessons from Gaetan Bloom, then how would they contact you?
Or they can contact me by my mail, direct mail. I can give you my mail.
What is it? Can you say what it is?
Gaetan. .bloom, B-L-O-O-M, @mac.com.
Easy enough.
Easy.
Yeah. And so, any kind of lesson, in other words, if they got an act, they'll bring it to you, or do you help them develop an act kind of like...
So far, what I did is very often they come with a vague idea of a character or something, or a theme. Very often they have a theme, they want to be whatever, or an object. Some people, they had one with a, I don't know how you call it, bilboquet, you know, the ball and the, it's all toy.
Yes.
And you throw the ball.
Yeah, the ball and the catcher and the little cup kind of a thing.
They wanted to do a complete act. But
really? Okay.
Yeah, you have many things. Or you have people who come with normal routines and how to make them better.
Sure.
You know, that's a basic thing.
Is there a certain level that you would accept a student? In other words, I mean, if someone doesn't know how to do a double lift, I mean, would you accept people from a base level and... Or do you want some? When you're, that's a lesson. That's a teacher as opposed to a coach. A coach is someone to me that you come in with an act and you're saying, okay, let me tighten this up and reframe that. You know, and here's
that's the, what more. Yes, that's more what I do. You know. Also, I'm not really. I'm not a good card guy. I mean, I'm not a card expert at all. So, if somebody wants to do that, I have very good friend who can do that better, and I recommend. You know.
Yeah. But you know about stagecraft and about blocking and choreography and all that.
So this, yes, that's what I like. And the rhythm, you know, very often it's a question of tempo, misdirection, of course, and all that. I mean,
what about music?
Yeah.
Do you use a lot of music in...
In my work, no, but I... I think it's very important. Music is really, really important, yeah.
That's what I was wondering. You know, when you were working the Crazy Horse, were you speaking French, I assume?
No, it's funny. I was speaking Spanish.
Okay, I would not have expected you to say that.
No, me neither, but it's the truth. I mean, if I did the Crazy Horse, it's thanks to Kevin James. It's a long story. I will do it short, but I knew Kevin for some years at the time, and I had great admiration for his work, and I think it was the same on his side, but we never spent a lot of time together. So I met him in Paris at Mayette shop, the Duvivier now, the Mayette. And he was playing the Crazy Horse. I didn't know that, but he was at the Crazy Horse. And I wanted to do the Crazy Horse for many years. And it was like no way. I mean,
the closed door to you. They wouldn't let you in.
Okay. And what happened is that Antonio, Kevin's partner, said, Gaëtan, do you know a place where we can stay for a few days? Because our hotel is in...
Remodeling.
Yeah, so we're out of... Say, okay, well, you can come in my house on the top floor. It's not fancy, but for a few days will be good. And Kevin said, no, we don't want to disturb you. No, come, please. And then he stays forever.
Felt like a brother.
Yeah. And really, it's developed like that. You know? Yeah. And I was cooking for them after... And then at one moment, Kevin told me, "Why you don't do the Crazy Horse?" And I told him, you know, oh, I did an audition 10 years ago, and it was okay, but no.
They never called you back.
Yeah, no, he said, it need to cook, you know.
Okay.
Okay. And at the time, I was doing 26 show for TV with Juan Tamariz in Spain.
Madrid, yeah.
Yeah, so we were taping that. And I came back, and one day, in fact, well, here I go in very sentimental thing, but when I came back, all that, we went to Crazy Horse for my 3 years I was with the same girl, and we had a baby, and I said, okay, so we are going to see Kevin at the Crazy Horse. And I'm watching the show. And she's by me, and I say, you think I can be there one day? And she say, yes, I think, why not? I say, well, you know, it's, don't know. And she said, well, I leave you next week because I have an affair with this guy.
Wow. Wow, and you already had a child with
perfect,
her.
Yeah. But
wow.
Perfect timing, you know. I was watching the thing.
Okay.
Well, anyway. Now, this was many years ago.
Yeah, but still, that'd be very emotional.
Yeah, it was rude. Yeah. It was rude.
Was Kevin staying with you at the time when she was still living with you?
Yeah.
So he knew her and all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. And then I... Then I thank you, dear Lisa Mena.
Thank you, Lisa. You don't want to interrupt. You're the best. Yeah, Lisa Mena just brought
and
some
then,
water.
So one or two days passed by, and I said to Kevin, "You know, Kevin, if you want to stay, you stay. But maybe I will be not the best host because." And I tell you my situation. I tell him my situation. I say, "You know, Gaetan, it's nearly the same thing happening to me for different reasons. Mostly because I'm always far away from home, but." I need to divorce, and I want to take care of my son and all that. So
you had custody of the child, or did she? You had custody?
At the end, we split together thing.
Okay.
It was very nice. Now we have very good friends and
good.
That. It's all over. It's all over.
How old is your son now?
This one is 28 now.
Okay. Well, it was a long time ago. Then.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. And Kevin said, but Gaetan, why do the career? I mean... You have just done the Tamaris TV thing. Do a video of that, of all your, because you have 26 shows, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Small. So I did that. Dominique Duvivier edited the thing, you know.
Same thing, yeah.
I give the tape to Kevin. Kevin gives the tape to Mr. Bernardin, the boss of the Crazy Horse.
Yeah.
And 2 days after, I have a phone call midnight. Bernardin, Crazy Horse, are you Mr. Bloom?
Yes.
Can we meet?
Yes!
And that was the beginning of the story, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have an appointment at 1 o'clock after midnight. AM. And
because they're still, they're open.
And he said, he never recognized me from 10 years away, and I didn't mention.
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, well, how is it possible I don't know you? He said, well...
no. I'm new here.
I said, but Kevin told me you are a good friend. He said, yeah. I was like, oh, well. And he said, oh, can you do the thing with the... You know, you have two sticks and the tassels.
Yeah.
And
describe the Chinese stick.
I've never seen this. It's very good. I said, okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
I think I
and
can work
that out. And then the microphone and then the shoe trick. He said, yes. Any, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I told him, but you know, I know the problem. Here at Crazy Horse, they don't talk. They don't talk at all. But most of your audience is English-speaking audience. So I think I have to do it in English. He said, no, but what I saw was in English, no? In Spanish.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, because it was for Spanish TV, but you have no Spanish people. He said, no, but you know, what you say is like your music.
Ooh,
so
that's nice.
I understand by your action what you do, so, and it's much more exotic. Can you do it in Spanish? Yes. And for 15 years, I did it mostly in Spanish.
How many languages do you speak then? French, English, Spanish?
That's it.
Three. Two more than me.
And few words of German, but nothing. Because in Germany, all the new guys, they speak English. And the old people, they like some word in French. They are very, c'est magnifique, monsieur. Oh là là, la vie est belle. Oh oui, bien sûr, madame, petite madame. Oh là là.
Now, whenever that Kevin was working, and then what was the transition? I mean,
the transition was, so I do the audition, kind of, and they say, okay, I book you. I like that. But... it will be for next year, you know, because I'm packed. I mean, now I can. And Kevin say to me, well, you know, Gaetan, really, it will be good for me if I can go back now to Vegas to fix the problem with
it. It's a good time for him, too.
Yeah. So he had signed already 1 year in advance. So he talked to the boss. He said, if you don't mind, maybe Gaetan can fill for me.
Right.
And that's how I started there.
Now, when you worked, did you have anybody replace you and fill in from time to time? Or was it just you or nobody? Well, no. I mean, for those 15 years, let's say you wanted... Did you ever take any vacation time or weekends? Or?
Oh, yeah. No. It was not a full year engagement. It was by the month.
Oh, okay.
But most of the time we were doing 2 or 3 months and then 2 months off and then 4 months.
And then have somebody else for those 2 months.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was like 10 people in the... You know, in rotation. The rotation. Yeah.
So, like Tom Mollica, he was there for a while then. Okay.
In fact, I went after Tom. Mm-hmm. When Tom quit, it was the moment where they took Kevin and then...
He had told me something about the story, because I had spoken with him on the podcast also about Crazy Horse, and I'd forgotten now what his story was about that. I remember, though, anyhow, that he had been there for some period of time.
Two or 3 years, I think. Yeah. Kevin or...
No, I'm talking about Tom.
Tom. Yeah.
And how long was Finn John there? Because I always thought, when I think of the Crazy Horse, I think of you and Finn John as being...
No. But I knew Finn at the Crazy, but I was much younger. I was like in my 20s when I met Finn because of Ken Brook. Ken Brook wrote me a note, say, go see Finn John at the Crazy Horse. And so I met him. I met Kevin... I meet Finn at the Crazy.
Were you good friends with him? I mean, I mentioned that I keep coming back to Finn because of his...
I become very good friends with Finn John.
Yeah, because of the thread, the work that he does and you do.
No. It's true that Finn developed my... I mean...
Influence.
Before Finn John, I had no idea about thread magic.
Was he the first one to fool you with elastic thread?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, I knew of one of his tricks before to know him, really.
Yeah, okay.
Because of Ken Brook, which is not completely true. I had seen Finn John in a gala show 2 years before doing the floating ball and the tie. And
the bubbles?
No, he was not doing the bubble. He was only doing one effect with a tennis racket.
Oh, yeah, right.
But not all what he's doing now. But Finn John, I met him with a thread by a trick called Esoteric.
Esoteric, okay.
Esoteric, it was a trick sold by Ken Brook. And it was a haunted pack. Mm-hmm. But you were putting the pack on the floor and you...
Far away from
back,
you.
Far away, and you make a circle with a spectator. And the idea was to create an invisible thread
from your hair,
to wrap the to give to one spectator and say pull.
Oh, that's funny.
So okay. It you know,
because Nick Einhorn has something. It's
maybe, but this is esoteric from Finn John. And for this, he's using a very thin thread, but not invisible, not like the ITR.
It had to be pretty heavy thread to that distance and not break.
Yeah. It's not invisible thread. It's from a stocking,
nylon stocking.
But also, you know, it can be nearly invisible now because also you are against the floor, so the floor hides a lot. You know,
good point.
It's like when they, you know, you have guys doing some puppet animation in the street with this principle for hundreds of years.
Let me ask you, as far as using invisible thread, I've heard different philosophies on coloring that, I've heard them say, you color it for like about 6 inches and then leave it blank and then, you know, with the magic marker or something, you know.
But that was mostly for stage, but it's true that if you break the constancy of the line.
Yeah. The visual constancy.
Yeah. So you can break it by... It's camouflage.
Yeah.
In the army...
That's true.
It's the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
So you can spot a complete line. If it's broken in different colors, then it's much more difficult to catch it. And I think Okito or people like that using thread on stage were very often using this. And sometimes a black thread is not the best. Sometimes it's more clear. Dark blue or whatever. Yeah.
Is it have to do with the spotlight hitting it? Dark blue might be better?
No, I don't know. But anyway, lightning and light is the most important thing. Again, at the Crazy Horse, Finn John was really walking. You know, at the Crazy Horse, you are 1 meter from the first spectator. It's really close up.
Wow, okay. Yeah, kind of. Never been, so I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's, and it's no deep stage, you know. And behind him, he had a white curtain.
Okay.
And it's it can be a surprise to, with a white curtain. You say, wow. But all the light was on the black, on the white curtain. And strong light on the curtain, so the thread was.
Oh, I see. Sure, yeah, you couldn't tell.
No, yeah.
You know, I would like to ask
you
him.
You know,
that.
He was saying always, Finn. He's saying, you know, the star in the sky. At that time, you don't see them. They are there, but
right.
You don't see them because
during daytime. Yeah, yeah. That's true. But I would like to know from him whether that he has had situations in which actually some thread has broken at the wrong time and he just had to go to a different...
Yeah, he has the best answer for that. He say, a thread never breaks. You break it.
You break it.
End of the question.
But usually the wrong time, I think, too.
Oh, yeah, but there is always... that, yeah. Well, the truth is that either Kevin, either Finn, they have at least two other threads ready. You know, if something goes
wrong.
You know,
I have heard him. You know, he used to come to the 4F convention, and he'd lectured and spoken. I remember him saying that. I think somebody did ask him that question. Whatever breaks, he said, I'll have a couple of backups, really.
Yeah.
Particularly if you work in the same theater like that.
Sure.
You know
sure.
There's a possibility,
sure.
And you can't sure. Have something go wrong. Have you, over the years, with your act, had anything that, if not didn't go wrong, you perhaps had a heckler? I mean, because the Crazy Horse, they come there for the girls, you know, not to see the magic act. And so it's kind of like, you know, bring them on, you know, that we're...
Yeah. Yeah,
how do you handle them? What kind of situation have you ever had?
No, I never had really problems. I mean, technical problems, huge technical problems in my act. No, but I had no threat in my act.
Right,
that's
right,
crazy.
Right. But I just wonder if you had spectators who were, or volunteers who were reluctant. You know, they really didn't want to help. They were kind of like...
At the Crazy, you have no volunteers. They don't
oh,
want
don't?
Any. No,
nobody
don't.
Comes on stage.
No, I never did the salad trick, for instance.
No, okay.
I couldn't.
Okay.
They don't want. You know, at the Crazy, really, the stage was like a sacred location. I mean,
okay.
Only the artists. You know,
yeah.
No spectator on the stage.
Uh-huh.
No. And the truth is that it's true that. The people were coming to see the girls, but at the end of the show, they were talking about the acts.
That's funny.
And it's true. It's really true.
Well, I imagine, you know, people like Norm Nielsen and others they've had, you know, were just beautiful acts.
Yeah,
I'm sure that they did talk about that.
And Josh Carl. I mean, Josh Carl was the king.
I never saw him, nor I'm not familiar with him. Tell me about his act. But Josh Carl, what did he do?
George.
Oh, George Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. I've heard Charlie talk about him.
Yeah. Oh. Go YouTube and you'll find hundreds of apparitions of George Carl.
Yeah, he's just kind of a physical comic.
It is, completely. But the king of the comedy. In fact, my act with a mic started from watching him in one way and saying, because the timing, he has such a timing.
Yeah.
Doing nothing. He's not doing magic. He's just getting tangled in any possible thing, you know, from the microphone cable to the whatever.
Yeah.
You have to watch it. And so this guy was hilarious. From the moment he went on stage to the mic, everybody was, what? But they were, and then after, wow. Small man. So funny, man.
And he died a long time ago. Was it the 60s or 70s?
No.
I was thinking that he hadn't...
Ask Charlie. I think Charlie is the magician. He was a very good friend with
Charlie Fry.
Yeah. And I think Josh Carl died in his arms, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew they were close. I knew they were that close. Wow.
They were that close. I mean, Charlie has all the costume and all the hats and all the... paraphernalia, whatever, from George, and you can tell because Charlie is as clever as George.
Yeah, he is, and also as clever as I guess Johnny Thompson. You know, in Johnny's absence, you know that Charlie's the one kind of taking his place.
Yeah.
Do you ever work or design larger stage illusions?
No, I have some ideas for some, but I never
published or built.
No. In my books, there is some medium illusion. Maybe you can enlarge some of
for
that.
For the parlor.
Yeah. But no, it's true that I'm more on a
close up to parlor.
Parlor, I would say parlor is my best thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And since you do comedy, then also, what are the comedy clubs like, if at all, or did they have a comedy club revolution in France have had in the U.S.?
No,
never had that.
No, huh. We have a lot of what they call café théâtre, coffee theater.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
But it's not so much solo performers.
Stand-up, yeah. Mic.
Stand-up, yeah. Coming. Now we start to have that.
But really, just now?
Since the last 10, 15 years, maybe.
Okay. It started to become popular?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. You ever thought about working those theaters or those comic clubs? Or have you before?
Not really.
Okay. Where's your main venue? Where are you? Obviously, you're not the Crazy Horse or doing anything, but where are you working now?
I do a lot of special gala, special events, you know.
Corporate events company type
kind
thing?
Kind of, yeah. Not trade show, but special event company, yeah. Special. And I do my act or I MC. I do a lot of MCing also.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you do magic?
A presentation, yes. I do magic and I introduce the artist or the event or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sometimes I create special effects for companies too.
Right, that's what I was just about to ask. So sometimes a company's going to be rolling out a new product, and you kind of help introduce the product.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Interesting.
And I have a very good friend. He was like not a pupil, but nearly a Stefan Leshen. And he's big guy, working a lot for very high-class companies, like Vuitton.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton.
Yeah. All that companies. And he has a lot of kind of exclusive things, mm-hmm. contract with them. And quite often when there is something really precise, they ask me to consult for that.
Do you work in conjunction with other people sometimes on some of these projects? I mean, okay.
Yeah.
You have metal shops and things, and you have these ideas, and so they'll make things for you?
Yeah, you know, at that level, you need to have real pro in their own.
Right.
I mean, you can have the idea, but you can really.
There was
if
a
you
thing.
Work for Vuitton, you know,
have just to go to see.
Yeah, they have some money.
The thing. Wow.
I was thinking of Topaz, for an example. That he had a thing that he had recently developed. You know, that's the orange juice thing. Are you familiar with this?
I saw that. No. It's very clever.
And he had some machinists who were working.
Yeah. No, I know some professional machinists. We can do special contraption, whatever.
Whatever you need, kind of a thing. Yeah.
But they are not magicians. They are builders.
Machinists.
Yeah, machinists.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have anything new that you're kind of working on right now when you get back that you're going to...
No. Nope. Right now, no. No. Yeah. Yes, I will have something next year. Next year, I don't have it yet, but the project is on, and we have different...
For the magic community, you mean?
Yes, it will end there. Okay. It will not be done first for that, but then after, yeah.
I thought maybe it was for a company thing, like you were just talking about, for them, and then eventually you'll sell it to magicians.
Yeah. And also, I work quite often for the House of Magic in Blois. There is a big House of Magic.
Was that where Houdon Museum was, the Copperfield block, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just... It was funny because I was just during...
Well, in fact, what you are talking about is a Fechner collection. Mm-hmm. The collection Christian Fechner had from Robert Houdin. And Christian Fechner nearly is the one who opened this museum, giving his collection at the time, at the beginning, to this museum. And then they had problem with the... he was not happy with the way everything was done, so he removed everything.
And that's how Copperfield
got it. And now Copperfield gets it.
Yeah, it was kind of funny because when I went through his museum and we were looking at some of the stuff and I was saying, I thought this was in Blois. He said, well, that was a door that used to be there. He said, it's here now.
Yeah,
and all this stuff.
Yeah,
oh, wow, so I don't need to go and visit there. It's here now.
But let's say now the house has a new way to walk and it's much better.
So there is still a museum and some things to see there.
Yeah.
It's not like what it was.
No, it's not... You can see the beautiful collection from
Christian
and Robert Houdin thing, but they have fun other things, and every year they do a new expo about a different theme, always linked with magic, but can be magic and the movie, can be magic and next year will be magic and the spiritism world.
Oh, okay. That'd be interesting.
And, you know, so yeah. Every year they change. And then also they have a stage show. They build, they put together a stage show for the year.
Right.
So it's a lot of activity. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, listen, I appreciate the time that we spent over here. The name of my podcast, as you see right there, is called The Magic Word. What I always like to do in my podcast is to ask my guests, what is it that is your magic word or phrase? What is it that's important to you? What's your philosophy? You know,
about what?
Life.
Magic?
Yeah, life in general. You know, when you wake up in the morning, I mean, you know, just...
I'm 66 now, nearly.
You're a young man. I'll be 68 next month.
You know, when you wake up in the morning and you say, and you don't feel something, you know, it's like you are dead. You know?
That's true.
Well, I don't know. You know, now I really like to perform.
Okay.
And I like to...
That's something you live by. I mean, each day that you're going to say, you know, you're living to perform.
It keeps me younger, just thinking to new stuff. But just like a training, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have this habit, then it goes by itself, kind of, you know. Whatever I do, I have a small motor behind with the thing, you know.
I remember talking to Andre Cole many years ago, in which that he was saying when he was in college that he would come up with three new ideas a day, and he wouldn't go to sleep until at night, regardless of price or whether that the method are available. He would invent something that is possible or impossible, basically. But because of that, you get into that mode of creation all the time, you know. Yeah. So I hear you saying is you keep creating.
I believe in that. Also, very often, when you go to bed, I put myself a problem. I say, oh, this trick. Yes, I have not the solution for that. Let's sleep on that, and sometimes it works.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes not. But.
But sometimes you'll have a dream about that.
Yeah.
Do you have a little pad of paper by the side of your bed? So you'd recommend for people to do that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Write down your dreams.
Yeah. Also. This was from a very old quote from Lou Dearman.
Lou Dearman.
I never met him, but I wrote. Yeah. And he said he was taping all his show.
Yeah.
He was recording all his, because he was talking a lot.
Yeah.
And because sometimes you do something and you have because the spectators tell you something or whatever, you have, and you find something so funny. At the end of the show, it's gone.
Right.
You don't say what was the funny thing, and boom, sometimes it's gone. So if you record it, then you have a.
Yeah.
Of course, David Copperfield is doing that with every show. You know.
That's right. Yeah. That's why he is what he is.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Gaetan, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Gaetan Bloom. Scotty out.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that rather unexpected conversation I had with Gaetan. That was something that I just happened to catch him at the right time and the right place, and it was kind of quiet there. So a lot of really good and interesting information that I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. Well, as I said, I caught him there at the convention, at the Genie Convention this last fall. Well, I recently went to Las Vegas, where I went to the Society of American Magicians annual convention. And before it began, I got a chance to sit down with Stan Allen and to talk about conventions, and as we're starting our convention season here for 2020, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to hear what he has to say as far as what is the future of magic. That is also, what is the history of magic, where are we currently, and where are we going, and some tips also for organizers. Well, he has a lot of good stuff to share with us next week, and so I'm giving you this little heads up right now to let you know that's what's going to be coming in next week's episode, and I normally don't do that. That's something that I kind of reserve for those people who are subscribers for the pod letter. And if you're not a subscriber to the weekly pod letter, which lets you know not only who's going to be in this week's podcast, but also who's coming up next week and some suggestions from the archives, then you need to subscribe. All you have to do is go to themagicwordpodcast.com, and there you'll see a pop-up link, or that you can go where it says subscribe, and at the bottom of that particular page on the website, you will be able to fill out a form and Bob's your uncle. There you go. You're then a subscriber. And it's just a weekly thing. It comes to your mailbox, and it won't take up much of your time, but has some valuable information. If you enjoy this podcast, I know that you'll enjoy the work I put into each and every weekly pod letter. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and be creative and make it a habit. This is Scotty out.